u 9. glavi Evanđelja po Mateju od 9. stiha vidimo kratak opis pozivanja jednog od Hristovih učenika. And as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw that, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn that what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We could wonder, how can it be? Matthew first time hears the voice of the Lord Jesus, and it's an invitation to Matthew to follow the Lord and become a disciple, and right away, without any second thought, Matthew walked out of his place and followed the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't think it happened exactly that way. I don't think this is the first time Matthew has heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. And the reason I don't think so is because in the beginning of the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, we read about the calling of the other disciples. For example, chapter 4, verse 18 and on, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So here are four disciples that in the Gospel according to Matthew have answered the calling of the Lord without any hesitation, just as Matthew the publican did in the chapter 9. Now if we turn to the beginning of Gospel according to John, we can read some additional details that will tell us about the early disciples of the Lord. In the Gospel according to John chapter 1, starting from the verse number 35, Again the next day after, John stood, this is John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, which is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. One of the two which heard John speak and followed the Lord Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He, Andrew, first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him, Peter, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. As we read this, we can get a somewhat different impression, that is, that the disciples of John the Baptist became acquainted with the Lord Jesus and learned about the Lord Jesus from the testimony of John the Baptist. I think it might be possible that the disciples of John were there when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John in water, and the Father testified with a voice from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. I would think it's possible that some of the disciples of John were there and they saw that very strong, powerful testimony. They also heard the testimony of John the Baptist, their teacher, whom they considered a significant prophet of God. So, after they were acquainted with the Lord Jesus and his teaching, they were prepared to follow the Lord Jesus at a time that he might choose to call them. And when that time came, they were ready. Now, Matthew is a publican, a tax collector. He is not a fisher. He is not from, probably not from Bethsaida, maybe some other place, or maybe living in Capernaum for a long time. But still, there is quite a probability that Matthew did hear the teaching and the sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ before, and that Matthew was informed about the healing and other miracles that our Lord Jesus performed. So at this time, when the Lord Jesus called Matthew, Matthew was ready. And yet, how different that is comparing to another disciple that said, Lord, I will follow thee, just let me first bid farewell to those of my household. Why would somebody have to postpone discipleship or beginning of discipleship until after bidding farewell to his household? The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that none of those that need something else to do before they follow the Lord, that have some other greater priorities, none of them is ready for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God for them is not sufficiently important. Matthew, the publican, when he received the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he decided to follow the Lord Jesus, did not need to bid farewell to the members of his household. He actually prepared a feast for the Lord. Everyone is going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the desire of every sincere disciple of the Lord. Not to separate and somehow be shy about that, not to separate himself from his household, but to involve everyone possible into the calling of the Lord. And so it happened that Matthew prepared a great feast. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, in Matthew's house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples, not only the members of Matthew's household, but also his fellow employees, his friends, his acquaintances, anyone seemed to be welcomed to follow the Lord Jesus according to Matthew. And when the Pharisees saw that, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Why would the Pharisees ask that question? Because sinners and publicans are immoral, unclean, sinful people. They do a lot of evil to the poor people in Israel. And why should a holy man of God, a prophet of God, and his faithful disciples associate with that kind of a person? And the Lord explained, "They that are whole, that are in good spiritual health, need not a physician, but they that are sick." What does that mean? That the Lord's ministry is not to convert the righteous, but to turn the sinners back from their evil ways and to have them believe God and be saved. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ is to save sinners. Pharisees considered themselves as separated, clean, separated from the world, the polluted people, the people in sin. And Pharisees thought that they were holy. Now, is there any substance, any truth in that? Should the people of God, should the Christians be separated from the sinners? And in what way? We see that the Lord and his disciples were eating with the sinners. Did the Lord with his disciples join the sinners to enjoy sin? Or did the sinners sit down around the table with the Lord Jesus and his disciples in order that the sinners may hear the gospel? We should be separated from the world by not participating in their sinful ways. But we should also reach out to the world, because the world is in need of salvation. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has instructed his disciples to preach the gospel of salvation to every soul, every human being. So, we read here the reply of the Lord. The Lord said, "They that are whole or in good health, they need not a physician." In other words, they that believe they are in good health will not seek help from a physician, will not accept the help from this physician. But those that are soul sick, those that realize they are sinful and they need a Savior, they had reason to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord added something in the verse number 13. "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." When we read this, it might look like at the first glance that if there was anyone righteous, had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the case. Now we read about the priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, that they were righteous, that they were living without blame according to the law. living according to the law included offering sacrifices to the Lord, even if they had not known sin to confess. They were commanded by the law of the Lord to offer a sacrifice every year, actually more than one, but even if they were not aware of any sin that they have done, they had to sacrifice the Passover lamb sacrifice and to mark their doorposts with the blood of the lamb, which would indicate that through the blood of the Passover lamb they left the house of their slavery, the land of Egypt, and they started walking on the way that the Lord has appointed for them to the promised land. It appears to me that the Pharisees were proud of their sacrifices and of their rituals, of their ceremonial purity, and the Lord says that He will rather have mercy in their heart than their sacrifices on the altar of the Lord. This also could mean that when one is offering sacrifice and has no mercy for the need of his poor brother or poor neighbor, that sacrifice is not pleasing to the Lord. Looking at this from the other side or another angle, the Lord Himself came to be the sacrifice for sinners, and He is not in need of human sacrifices. The people are not going to offer sacrifices that can redeem their souls, but rather to receive the mercy and grace of God, to receive His sacrifice for their redemption. For the self-righteous people, it's very difficult, if at all possible, to understand the need of salvation, the need of sinners, sinful souls, to receive the grace of God. And that's, I think that's why the Pharisees were accusing the Lord of sitting around the table with the sinners as if He Himself was a sinner and enjoyed sinful company. I would think that the Lord Jesus Christ did not enjoy not only sinful company, He did not enjoy the life on earth. His life in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, was much more wonderful and much more enjoyable. Yet He came down to this earth to save sinners. And for the same reason, He's eating and drinking with sinners, that they would be exposed to His teaching, to the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit, which worketh with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that we might take some example from this and use hospitality to reach out to the sinners, to expose them to the gospel, to make a friendship with our neighbors and our acquaintances, and pray for the opportunity to be able to befriend them and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. The Lord says that He has not come to call righteous but sinners to repentance. And I would think that there is no righteous person in all of the humanity that needed not repentance, that needed not a Savior. So everyone is called, everyone is invited to follow the Lord Jesus and to receive His goodness and grace, to receive forgiveness of sins, to have the atoning value of His sacrifice applied to his or her soul. Altogether, I think it's very interesting to notice that the Lord will have mercy to the sinners that come to Him with a penitent heart. He will not have sacrifice as something that anyone could boast of. He is our sacrifice. No other sacrifice is acceptable or worthy to take away, to cleanse impurity, take away our sinners and make us free from sin. Only the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says here that He will have mercy and not sacrifice. When He is merciful to us, He has full right to expect us to be merciful to one another and to share His mercy with the others. If we truly are saved, we can only desire salvation for all the others that are around us.